Sorry, Calvin. Stephen often says that's fantastic singing. And again, just our prayer for the Uganda team as they travel, as they settle. Let's really just commit them in our prayers over the next few weeks. And I just so blessed to have been sharing in some of the bits and pieces, some of the fundraisers. Excuse me, I'm out of puff. So, Jonah chapter 4, Jonah takes a selfie. What's that about? Give me two significant details about a selfie. Anybody guess? And please talk to me. Anybody? You have to be in it, okay? Capturing something special, okay. These are good. It's like a children's talk now. I get gold coins. Thank you. No, this is brilliant.
You need a camera.
Thank you, Kim. Yep. Two very significant things about a selfie. It's taken by yourself, and it's taken off yourself. The obstruction thing, Tom, is absolutely right at times. Taken by yourself and taken off yourself. So here actually is the Eiffel Tower. So there's this huge building, or this huge edifice that's there, but it's not the focus of the picture. The picture's taken by the girl herself and taken off herself. And actually what's in the background, be it earlier on, you know, whenever I was at the pyramids, but there's pictures that you can pick up, like the couple at Niagara Falls. And actually the very important thing, the thing that you're there, back in the day, you took your camera out and you thought, this is amazing. And you took the picture of the place where you are that's been there for thousands of years. In Crete during the summer, Karen and I and Robin were walking around the harbor in Chersonesus, and there was this girl with four friends over in Crete, and this amazing boat in the harbor. The girl had an ordinary camera, but stood on the harbor, and she couldn't even see what she was taking the picture of, because it wasn't one of the fancy phones with the selfie app on it, as if I know what I'm talking about. I've never taken one in my life. But the girl was with an ordinary camera and thinking, you have four friends with you. Ask one of your friends to take the picture of you and the boat. Selfie is about me. We get to Jonah chapter 4, and it's all about Jonah. Let's unpack this a wee bit. Chapter 1, Jonah's asked to go to Nineveh, and he runs to Joppa to get a boat for Tarsus. In disobedience. No way. Not those people. Chapter 2, he's in the belly of the fish. And there God disciplines him and works with him. Chapter 3, we see from chapter 4, grudgingly went and shared God's message to the Ninevites and a city of 120,000 people. 40 days and God's going to judge. But deliverance came. People repented and turned to God. Chapter 1, we see God's patience evident. Chapter 2, we see God's pardon on a disobedient prophet. Chapter 3, we see God's power just made manifest and just so many people repenting and turning to God. It's amazing. It's a miracle. The end of chapter 3, when God saw that they did, or what they did, the people in Nineveh, how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Oh, if the book could stop there, that would be enough. But read chapter 4, verse 1 with me. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. What? These pagan people have turned to God in repentance, turning away from their gods. And Jonah's cross. And again, we see God's patience and God's pity, this time on the prophet, just unpacked here in chapter 4. Let's quickly step through it. Verses 1 to 4, as Pam read for us, tell us of who God is, God's character. Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, this is not what I said when I was still at home. That's why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you're a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord replied, "Have you any right to be angry?" Here Jonah quotes Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. In essence, Jonah's in a huff. He says, "God, you're not doing this my way." He's saying, "God, those people do not deserve your mercy." He's saying, "God, this makes me look bad, because I prophesied that they would be judged, that they would be zapped, and instead they've turned to you. You've relented in your love and forgiven them. That makes me look really bad." He was so caught up in himself, but he knew who God was. And even in that, he just went his own way, doing his own thing, taking a selfie. Jonah taking this. I can't help myself with the silly titles. Let's unpack who Jonah is. Verses 5 through to verse 9. Look at his position. It prophesied 40 days, and God will send judgment unless you repent. And he went out and sat at a place east of the city. What was he doing? He went out there just waiting to see if God was like Sodom and Gomorrah. There was going to be a firework display. These people were going to be annihilated. He hated them anyway, possibly. Is that what we read into the passage? Have you ever heard the little phrase or the little cliche, maybe in some senses, the true you is known by your reactions and not your actions. Very often the true you is known by your reactions and not your actions. You can choose to put on a good face, but it's when something happens in the immediate and you react that's that kind of out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. Is that what we see in Jonah? As he went out in a huff, sat outside the city and said, "God, you're not doing this my way, and this just isn't fair. Those people don't deserve it. This makes me look really bad." And his reaction was so poor. Was it nationalism, prejudice, and bigotry? The Ninevites had been so evil in how they had treated the Israelites. Was it exhaustion, physically, spiritually, emotionally, just wrung out? Maybe a little bit like Elijah in 1 Kings 19, after the whole Mount Carmel incident and all that he had been involved in, prophesying and sharing God's good news. And he says, "Lord, take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Can I ask for us this morning, could we maybe here in Ballywillan be a little bit like Jonah? In our service for the Lord, is it with a grudging heart? Is it, "God, you're not doing this the way I want, and that's just not fair"? Look at the parable that then takes place. God provides a vine to give shelter for Jonah as he sits in a huff waiting for the people to be killed. God provides a worm that eats the vine, God provides a scorching east wind that comes and the vine disappears. And again, Jonah just is in such a bad mood. Verse 4 about the city, God says to him, have you any right to be angry? Verse 9, God says to Jonah, have you any right to be angry about the vine? And Jonah says, yes, I do, because it was giving me shelter, my way. And God then speaks to him very tenderly in lots of ways. But he says, get over yourself. Read with me, please, verses 10 and 11. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? And through this parable, this incident with the vine, and Jonah sitting in a bad temper, God says, look, you're fussed about this vine because it was doing something for you. You can't care less about the city. You didn't make the vine, but you're upset about it. You didn't make the people of Nineveh. I did. And surely I have the right to be concerned about them and have a heart for them. The thing is about a selfie. All the focus is on you. And at times you don't see what's going on in the background. I don't know how clearly you can see that picture. Two athletes at the Commonwealth Games taking their selfie. And who's looking at them through the fence? Anybody see it? Her Majesty the Queen. They're oblivious. So caught up in themselves, I don't mean it in a nasty way to the girls, but they're so caught up in themselves and the excitement of their world that they don't see what's going on in the background. Verse 10, is that what's going on with Jonah? And he's missing it. So caught up in himself, he doesn't see what's happening. Verse 11, here, just missing God's grace. Jonah is so caught up in himself, he doesn't see what's happening in the city. That how many, it doesn't tell us numbers, but we can assume thousands of people turning to God in repentance. Where should Jonah be? He should be celebrating, teaching, encouraging the people of Nineveh, helping them find faith in the God that he follows. I was going to say he loves, but where does that fit? Missing God's grace. It's a bit like the story of the prodigal son, because the saddest part of the story is that the older brother became angry and wouldn't go into the party. Younger son had come home in repentance and found the father's love. And the older brother sat in the front porch in a huff and wouldn't go in, completely missing the father's grace. Can I ask you, maybe quite straight this morning, in our attitude to ministry here in Ballywillan, self-centered or God-centered? Conceited or compassionate? He must become greater, and I must become less. What can we learn? Compassion, sharing God's heart for others. Think of our town. Think of the triangle. Think of our fellowship here in church. Where is our compassion? Our sharing God's heart with and for others. That sense of community, and that, again, I love about the Uganda team, because it's not 12 people. It's been a congregation, a community of faith, sharing with God's people together. That's what the church is. Another question. What about our contribution? Are we running to Joppa to get the boat for Tarshish? or are we doing what God's calling us to? The question, what is God calling us to? What is our contribution here in Ballywillan? We've talked before about the terrible church disease called pneumonia. And it's dead easy to sit in the pew and moan. Dead easy to find fault because we're a broken, flawed people. But our call is to be a community of faith with compassion who work together. Our contribution. Just on Facebook recently, Emma Watson, the actress from Harry Potter, had a speech at the UN, and she quoted Edmund Burke, an American statesman, "All that is needed for the forces of evil to triumph is for good men and women to do nothing." Compassion, community, contribution. Just as we draw to a close, can't help myself. Prayer in Ballywillan. You're going to go to the prayer meeting tonight. Will that be your contribution? A contribution? In the new year, the little prayer team are talking about the possibility of a 24-hour or a 12-hour prayer room where you take on 30 minutes each and just commit to pray as we come into the new year of God's work here in this community of faith. Or what other ideas? What about Wednesday evening prayer meeting? Could we be here? Could that be a contribution to stand together as God's people in prayer? What about fellowship? Let me just throw a couple of bombs out. Fellowship, bit of fun. Many people play golf. Who could organize a golf competition? Certainly for me, a handicapped golf competition. But where we could go out to the salmon leap, or what do you call it, the brown trout, onto the wee council course, and have just a good fun game of golf. Try and invite friends, get folk from the church, men, women, boys, girls, young people. And who could do that? I couldn't. I'm useless at that. But how many people here in church could make that contribution? What about a Sunday picnic in the good weather? And say, we know next week's going to be great weather. Let's have a picnic. Maybe, sorry chaps, one of the farmer's fields. Maybe a big garden. Maybe a park somewhere. Who could do that? Who could put that together? What about you middle-aged men in Lycra, you mammals, getting on your bikes? How many people actually cycle? And you could have a little invitation to go and cycle the triangle someday. I don't know. Table tennis, there's three good trolley table tennis tables. During the summer, we could have had a table tennis night once a week. Fellowship, fun, God's people, community together could do it. Come dine with me, the Tracy started. Fantastic for folk to just be together in fellowship. Need a drink because I'm on fire here now. What about witness? What about our contribution to sharing God's good news? Uganda team are a perfect example of that because they'll all tell you that they're just ordinary people who are probably quite terrified, but they're doing it in obedience to God. What about our responsibility to the town as a church? What about our responsibility to the holiday community here in Portrush, the Northwest, the raft race, the air show? Could we do some kind of creative open air? Bit of a risk, bit scary. But let's get off our pews and go and do something. But it's for us to do it. And you maybe have the skills. What about a football summer week in Glenmanus? There's a pitch there. I'm sure they would be dying to have some activity for the kids where we can pull in athletes in action or somebody like that. What about the caravan parks? Is there any wee thoughts and ideas that we have that we could get involved? What about our Bible study? Making a commitment to each other to study God's word together. Discipleship explored could be better attended. And you can still jump in there, not this Wednesday, but next. The fellowship is great. And studying God's word together and getting to know each other and share our faith journeys together, so good. What about the ladies' Bible study that will start in a few weeks' time on a Monday? And what about any other else that maybe you could come up, something that God's putting in your heart where you can get involved? He must become greater. I must become less. What is God asking us to do? Like Jonah, let's not run. The scary thing about the book of Jonah, and with this I finish, is that it's left hanging. It's left with Jonah sitting in that booth outside the city, and it's uncomfortable. This morning, are we like Jonah sitting in the booth, taking a selfie? Or are we going to get out of the road and follow what he calls us to do here in church? That he becomes greater and we become less. Let's just take a moment to pray. Lord, we ask that you would take these words, and what is of man would be taken away, and that what is of you would rest in our hearts. Father, speak to us, we pray. May we respond as is fitting. Lord, may you take us on with you. Help us, Lord, to search our hearts and to commit to you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.